We've been talking about, I think the title maybe last couple of times is Living by Faith, something down those lines. But anyway, we've been talking about faith. And we're going to continue down those lines, but I changed the title this morning. I could just cheer it. The title this morning is We Are More Than Conquerors. And everybody said, woo! Amen, right? Listen, you're not a conqueror because you have conquered something. Just like you're not righteous because you did something righteous, right? The Bible says that we were sinners, but we have been made the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Scripture, we have been made more than conquerors. That means I don't ever have to conquer anything. I am what I am, right? By the grace of God, He made me that way. But how many knows when you're made something, that means you should be doing that, right? I want to make this statement. Anybody can be healed of anything right now. Anybody can be set free from anything right now. Right? Why? Faith is always now. How do I know faith is always now? Because see, when you're in faith, it's real to you right now. You have it to you, whether you feel it, whether you see it, because you believe it, you have it right now. Y'all see my hands? Can y'all see that? That red on my hands? And it's on my eyelids, and they're a little bit swelled up, and the backs of my neck. That's called what they call scleroderma. Oh, man. The doctors, they diagnosed me with that. When I was going to the doctor about my head and all that, when it was messed up and everything, and blood test and test after test after test. And all. That's when they come up with that. Said, hey, you got the scleroderma. And I'm like, what is that? Sclera what? It says scleroderma. And supposedly what it is some kind of autoimmune disease. And right now it's in a, what they call an outbreak. It can affect just your skin, or it can be kind of like lupus or sarcoidosis, something like that. It can affect your internal organs and all of that. There's no cure for that, they say. There's no treatment for that, they say. But the Bible says in Isaiah, whose report am I going to believe? Now, I do not deny what the doctors say they have found. They go by what they see, right? They go by what the books tell them. They go by their natural learning and all of that. So I do not deny what they say that they have found. What I deny is the right for it to be there. Because according to the Word of God, I have been redeemed from all sickness and all disease, all poverty, all lack, all death, right? So therefore, that's what I believe. I told Scotty earlier, I said, listen, I said, come over here, look at this. Would you just look at that? I said, just look at it. He said, why? Because I ain't going to see it no more. I said, no, you're not. Yeah. Why? Because to me, it's just the same color as the rest of my skin. When I look at it, my eyes see that it's red. But in here, Sandy, it's not red. It's not, it feels like, have you ever had a really severe sunburn on your eyelids? That's how it feels. Like a very, very bad sunburn. And then it itches. And then when you scratch it, it feels good but hurts at the same time. That's weird, ain't it? But see, to me, I don't have to see it. I don't have to feel it. Because to me, it's already gone. That's what it means to walk and live by faith. Now listen, I'm not telling you a confession. See, if you've ever been in faith, if I'm talking about for real, not just a confession, you know the difference. Because to you, you have it. When you're just making a confession, you're waiting on it. Now, to me, I already have it. Do I see the manifestation of it yet? No. I'm waiting on the manifestation. What? For it to change. See, this is not the truth. This may be facts. What you're going through may be facts, but how many knows the Word of God is eternal and it is the truth. Therefore, everything else is subject to change at any time. That's why the Bible says all things are possible to those that believe. Believe what? Everything the Word says. When you look at your bank account and it says negative 4,000, But yet you see it full. And I'm not talking about a confession. I'm talking about in here, Sandy. You see it. You know it. You believe it. You don't know how. You don't know when. And it don't matter because to you, it's already over in abundance to the full till it's overflowing. But when it's just a confession, you're still sad. You're still complaining. You're still waiting for it to come. Whenever my head messed up, all of that, I mean, it's hard to explain. When I first went to the doctor, well, when my head first messed up or whatever, I would feel better if I just laid down. Don't move, because any time I would move, it would make it worse. And so I would just lay there, you know, watching TV or whatever I'm doing and everything. And Scotty came in one day, and this is after a couple weeks, I guess, came in one day, and he told me, he said, you're going to have to fight. He said, you're going to have to believe God, and you're going to have to fight. I said, I am believing God. How many knows when you're not in it, you get offended just like that? And I didn't realize, Sandy, that I wasn't. But what I was doing was I was laying there waiting on things to change. Faith is not waiting and it is not passive. Faith is goes forward and it is aggressive. It has actions. It has words, right? It's not just laying there waiting on God to change things. So anyway, I'm just laying there waiting on things to change and ain't nothing happening. Matter of fact, I'm getting worse. So anyway, I got upset and he went off and everything and I began to think about that. And I thought, okay, what could I do that would be an act of my faith? I say I'm believing God, okay. I thought, well, I couldn't drive at the time because, I mean, I scare myself. Have you ever been drunk? I'm talking about alcohol drunk. It's like that. Where vertigo is different. This was kind of like alcohol drunk, but you don't got a buzz. You're not really in control of your thinking. You're not really in control of your actions, right? I mean, you try to walk around, you know, and everybody can tell you are, but you're never drunk. But anyway, that's kind of like what this is or whatever, and hard to think and all of that. And I thought, okay, I thought, heal people drive. So Scotty come in one day. I had my kids. I said, get in the truck. He said, well, what are we doing? I said, heal people drive. So, by faith, he got in the truck. And here we go, and I mean, I am still drunk. But I'm trusting God. God heal people drive. So I'm going to put action with what I say I believe. So therefore, we get in the truck, and we go. Well, this goes on for a period of time, and when this would be at its worst, I mean, it's hard to think. It's hard to keep a train of thought because it's just like zoom, zoom, zoom. And then it come to the point to where on the inside, it would kind of feel like I don't know, I guess maybe y'all would kind of call it like what some call a caffeine buzz, where you feel jittery like or whatever, you know. Some people say, you know. Well, this would start kind of like that, and then it would like ramp up to where the point to where inside I feel like I'm almost buzzing. And some of y'all would notice, and Beth would tell me, she'd say, I could tell your head was messed up because you're more blunt than usual, you know. But anyway, and it would be kind of like that and hard to think, and I would be talking, you know, and stop mid-sentence. If I'm talking about somebody, I can see their face, I know their name, but I can't say. It's like there's a misfire going on in my head or something. And then at one time, it got to the point to where for 3 months, I could only walk one day a week. It would be kind of like, I would be okay standing still. Now, I still got the drunk going on and hard to think and all of that kind of stuff and process things or whatever. But when I would go to move, it's kind of like that jerking on the inside. I would just do like this. Y'all ever seen a backhoe that's wore out? To where you pick the arm up and you swing it and you let go of the handle, but it still keeps going this way? Y'all never seen that? Well, I have. I've seen a bunch of them because I'm married to Scotty. But anyway, that's kind of how it would be. You pick up your arm or whatever, and it would just keep going, and it would be jerking and all of that. Well, anyway, I go to the doctor. I go to an ENT. You know, they're supposed to be the specialist in this stuff. Well, anyway, he treats me for vertigo and all that, and none of that works and everything. And I go one time, and then I go two times. And he says, well, this time put on a neck brace, you know, where you can't turn your head and move around. And because that's supposed to make vertigo worse. And they do their little thing, turn you upside down and all that. You know, and then you're supposed to be good. Well, I'm not good. Well, then I go the third time, and he says, I can't help you. What? You're the doctor. You're supposed to be some of the specialists in what you do. Ear, nose, and throat, right? So anyway, I can't help you. So that's the end of that. And all the time, I am progressively getting worse and worse and worse and worse as far as physically. Well, then I go to another ENT. And that one was at Coleman. This one is at, what is that, Abreville? Boaz, something like that. Anyway, I go to another one. Oh, well, we don't know what's going on or whatever. And so he says, I can help you. Two ENTs. Then they send me to physical therapy because they're thinking something's happened to my brain. Scotty's fried my wig, I guess. And my brain needs to be retrained. So I go through 10 sessions of physical therapy to retrain my brain. My brain don't get retrained because it don't need retraining, number one. But anyway, they're just, how many knows, they're trying to figure out because they don't know. So I've been through two ENTs, 10 sessions of physical therapy. I even got a free T-shirt for it. No help at all. I'm still getting worse. Well, then I go to a neurologist. They're supposed to be specialists, right? I go to a neurologist in Huntsville. And what, I see him two or three times, and then MRIs and all, where they put you in that drum, all that stuff that they do. I don't know all them tests. Then they do this thing where they cement these electrode things to your head, you know, and they, all of that. And I actually, while I'm walking in there, have one of these episodes to where I just start jerking, and Scotty has to help me on the table. But then when I lay down, it quits. Then they hook me up, you know, and all of that. Well, then I have to go through the shock therapy stuff. I don't know if y'all ever had that done or not, where they hook these electrode things up to the bottom of your feet or in your legs or whatever, and they hit a button and it goes, zzz, zzz, and you're like, ah! Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Oh, y'all should try it. It's to check your nerves and all of that kind of stuff. I could have told them they're very good, you know, but they got to do their test and all of that. And so after all of that, we're walking. I can't even get in the truck by myself. I start having another one of them episodes where I can't even put my leg up. It's jerking so bad. And during this time, a lot of times I would start crying because of such chaos. You can't think. And I told Scotty, I said, I am trapped in this body. Why? Because, see, this is not me. I am not what you see. You are not what I'm looking at right now. You are on the inside. But a lot of people have not even got enough in the Word and developed their spirit enough to distinguish between the two. They think they are the body. You are not the body. According to Scripture, you are a spirit. You'll live one place forever or another. That's why you must be born again. And death is not death of just this physical body. Death is separation from God forever. Anyway, during all this, so they go through all of their tests and all of that, and then the neurologist at Huntsville, he says, I can't help you. You're going to have to find somebody that will listen to you and can help you. Are you kidding me? So then I go to a neurologist at UAB. Get down there, go through the whole nine yard, and she says, I can't help you. Sandy, everyone that I went to, they said, I can't help you. So what do I do? According to Proverbs 4:20-22, it says, the word of God is my medicine. Did you hear what I said? The word of God is your medicine. So if you got a problem and you go to the doctor and they give you a medicine, what do you do with it? You put it on the shelf, and you look at it, and you say, well, I'm not getting better. There's nothing happening. That's what a lot of people do with the Word of God, Johnny. They'll mental assent, they'll agree with it, they'll agree with the Scripture that I just, but they never take it. So I went, I looked, you can use your phone, Strong's Concordance or whatever, and just with your phone in seconds you can do it. Looked up scriptures about healing. Proverbs 4:20-22 was one of my first ones that I put down there. The 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. That's a past tense word. Already been done. There's lots of others. According to Psalm 103, he heals all my diseases, right? I mean, so there's scripture after scripture in the Bible. So what I did is I took the Word of God, I wrote it down, and I began to read it every day. Every day, I read those. I took my medicine. And I didn't just read them, but as I read them out loud, I decreed them and I declared them. They belong to me. This is working. And I would say, thank you, Lord, that your word, God, is working in my body. Donnie, that's been probably 7 years that I've had to deal with that crap. And every now and then, and slowly I begin to get a little bit better. A little bit better. A little bit better. A little bit better. See, that's what we don't want. We want to come up front, and whoever got the power for the hour to lay hands on us, zap us, and boom, instantaneously we are healed. I went through Jack's the other day, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there. And I said, God, this is supposed to be fast food, but it ain't being very fast. Why? Because when I go to fast food, what do I want? Let me just throw my money at you while you throw my food at me, so I ain't even got to slow down. This is fast food. How many knows we can get to the place that's the same way we want it with God, but you cannot dictate how it comes. You do whatever He says to do. So I've had two ENTs, one physical therapist of 10 sessions of physical therapy or whatever to retrain my brain, two neurologists that's supposed to be some of the best that say, I cannot help you. The Word of God and the Spirit of God, Joni, me putting it in there. The Bible talks about keep the Word before our eyes at all times. The Bible talks about, 10 lepers? 5, 10, something like that. I can't remember now exactly how many. But Jesus told him, He said, go show yourself to the priest. Right? Y'all remember that? And the Bible says they was healed as they went. They could have had to walk 1 mile, 2 miles, 50 miles. I don't know how long they had to walk, Sandy. But by faith, they had to take Him at His word. Had to take Him at His word and begin to go. He didn't tell them you're going to be healed as you go. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, the scripture says they was healed. And y'all remember the story, one came back to thank Him. But all of them were healed. But they were healed as they went. Now we've done been over this. There was times that they would be blind people and He would talk to her right in their eyeballs. Remember that? There'd be other times He would make mud and He'd put them on their eyes and tell them to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Y'all remember that? How come He didn't do it the same every time? Because He did it however the Holy Spirit directed Him. I'm not anti-doctoring, but there's times the doctor says, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do for you. But how many knows all things are possible to those who believe? And sometimes, according to Mark chapter 4, He said, this is the parable. This is how the kingdom works. You take the seed, which is the word of God, and you plant it in your heart. How many knows sometimes you got to do that more than once? You plant it in your heart and then you water it and 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 you keep it. You don't look at the redness and say, well, I guess it's not working. Because then you're pulling up your tomato plant. Right? You look at that and you talk to it. The Bible says resist the devil and what? He'll stay and play. It says, you resist, submit yourself to God, therefore resist the devil and he's got to go. All sickness and disease originates from the devil. It does not originate from God. Now, I'm not saying just like this. I do not believe this is just an outright on tack of the devil. But how many know it originated with him? It was not in the garden and it is not in heaven. Therefore, I rebuke this and it cannot stay. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I belong to God. And this is an alien. Every one of us have to go the same way, do the same thing. Now, you might be able to go to the doctor and get some help. If God directs you to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. You might die if you don't. But how many of us, every one of us, if we're going to walk and live by faith, what's that mean? I conduct my every thought. I conduct my every deed. I conduct everything that I choose by what I believe to be His will. And I know that I know that I know healing is His will. How do I know it? This entire book tells me they had a covenant with God about healing before Jesus ever even came. The Bible says that we have the same covenant, but even better and greater promises than the old. So, I mean, it didn't just start when Jesus came. It was already here, right? Deuteronomy 28 was already here before Jesus got here. Psalm 103 was already here before Jesus got here. Now, I still have to at different times, just like, for an example. Now, see, this probably won't mean anything to you, but it does to me because I lived it. We went on a little mini vacation here. Now, I told you about driving. Driving would, like, throw me into sensory overload. I would be okay. I'd come up here and play the drums. But anytime I would walk, or it's like it would ramp that up. I would play the drums, and y'all, some of y'all seen it. I'd have to be helped off the stage at different times. You know, one time, I think it was April, and Jeffrey had to grab me because I nearly fell into the wall over there when I was getting up. It's like it just be sensory overload, you know, something's going on or whatever. Well, so we went on a mini vacation or whatever. And to Tennessee, up there to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, all of that, you know. I drove all the way. Did I have symptoms? Every now and then. I think about three times I would feel that jerk and start coming up. What happened? I would speak to it. Oh, no, you don't. I am the healed of God, and you can't come here. Absolutely not. I never one time told God, oh, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm telling you, you're going to have to drive now. I'm just feeling it. And it would make me nervous. That's a long ways up there. Anyway, and then not counting all of that, I mean, degenerative disc going on. I didn't sleep in the bed for years because it hurt me so bad. I sleep in the bed now, Johnny. Until Scotty's snoring and he don't turn over, then I'll go get on the couch. Do I still hurt? Yeah, sometimes I feel like a rotisserie chicken because I hurt so bad it wakes me up and I'll flip over and then I'll go back to sleep and then I'll start hurting again, wake up, flip back over. My point to all that is I drove all the way up there. That man never touched a steering wheel from the time we left our carport till the time we got back. Every place we went, everything we done, I drove. Why did I do that? I didn't have to do that. I did that on purpose. And another thing, too, he's got to where he makes me nervous. Because he don't like to watch the road anymore. He likes to look for cows. And pasture. And barns. And hay. And hay rings. We're going down the road. And he said, you see them cows over there? I said, no, Scotty, I didn't see no cows. I don't want to see no cows. I don't care about cows. So while he's looking off over there everywhere, we're kind of crossing the lines, and he says he pays for both sides. I said, only for one time. One lane at a time is all you pay taxes for, not both. Reason why I am telling you a testimony of the power of God and the Word of God when it is put in the heart of a person, any person, that will believe it and will do it. Like I said, this has been over 6-7 years. Aubrey was, I think, 3 when this happened. Actually, I guess it's been longer than that because she's fixing to turn 11. But I wouldn't quit and wouldn't quit. I read it every day, every day, every day. Sometimes I'd be reading that and the devil said, it's not doing you any good. Sometimes I'd get that, because I mean, I had like 5 or 6 pages to read. You know how long that takes every morning? You read your chapter, and then you read the Old Testament too, and then you read 5 or 6 pages, front and back, of things that you've wrote down, over an hour, every day. And there'd be times I'd get up and my flesh would be like, ah, I don't want to read this today. You've been reading it for 3 years. But you have to, it don't matter. It don't matter what your flesh wants. It don't matter what the devil said. So the only reason why I tell you all that is to encourage you that if it can happen to me, which is nothing and nobody, it can happen to anybody at any time. Now, can you be instantaneously healed? Absolutely. But if you don't get it that way, you just keep walking. You keep putting the word in. You keep believing regardless. But you got to keep putting the word in. Why? Because symptoms are keeping telling you all the time. You feel that. You see that. Somebody told me the other day, well, that don't look no better. I said, it's getting better. Don't matter what it looks like. I got eyeballs. I can see. But I see with these on the inside. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Gosh, I don't want to read this whole thing because of time's sake, but it sure is good. I'm going to paraphrase and lead up to it, maybe. Now, in chapter 8, the beginning of chapter 8, it talks about the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus and all of that. And then it goes on and talks about how that He's in us, talks about how that the Spirit of God in us bears witness with our spirit. Verse 17 talks about how that we are heirs and joint heirs of God with Jesus Christ. That means everything He has, I have been given because of Him and what He's done, right? Then it starts talking about how that we, it says, verse 18, amplified, it says, "But what of that?" Talking about the suffering and things that we go through. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us." That's good stuff, right? Then he goes on down and he says there in verse 24 in the King James, he says, "For we are saved by hope." You know, and some say, "Well, I thought we were saved by grace." We are. Grace is a free gift. He did it all, right? But he says here, "We are saved by hope." He says, but hope that is seen is what? Not hope. If you can see it, it's not hope. He says, "For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for?" You can't. "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." What's that mean? We're not passively laying there waiting on something to happen. We have it now. What it means is because we have it now in here, we're waiting to see with our eye the manifestation of our hoping and believing. Right? So then he goes on and he talks about how that we have weaknesses and the Spirit helps with our infirmities or our weaknesses and all that. Then verse 30 says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Hallelujah. Verse 31, he says, "What shall we then say to these things?" Everything that he said before that. "If God be for us, who can be against us?" One translation says, "If God be for us, who can prevail against us?" I thought about this the other day. According to the Word of God, the Bible says there's not one creature hid from God. What that means is there's not one angel, one demon, one devil, one person that can ever have a thought that God don't know about. So, Sandy, therefore, if God be for me, the devil can't never get one up on me if I follow him. That's why he can never beat God, Johnny. God is five steps ahead of him before he ever has a thought about it. You can't beat somebody. Somebody can't beat you, Sandy, if you know their every thought. Why, you know every move they're going to make before they ever even make it. Therefore, you're five steps down the road before they ever made this one. So he says, if God is for you, and he is. Doesn't he say he is? That if God is for you, who can prevail against you? Nobody. Nothing. Nobody. Right? We have to get this on the inside of us. He goes on here. He says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies, ain't it?" Yep. It says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us," right? God is on his throne. Jesus is at his right hand praying, making intercession for me and you. And the Holy Ghost is down here in the earth. And if you're born again, he's in you. Can't nothing and nobody whoop you. It is a fixed fight. if you stay in faith. Anything outside of faith, he's going to beat your brains out. But faith is almost effortless. You believe it. He goes on here and he says, who shall separate us? Notice what he says. From the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No! In all these things we are what? Not just a conqueror, more than conquerors. How? Through him that what? Loved us. You need to get rooted and grounded in the love of God. How much he loves you. It will do wonders for you. He goes on here. It says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. He could have said, I have faith. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I know that he loves me and he's already did everything for me, then why should I ever doubt it? Why should I ever have a problem? I just rest in Johnny what he's done. I just rest in his promises, that even he said all of his promises in him are yes and amen. There's never a no to his promises. See, Richard, if you're going to be successful in this business, number one, know God put you in it. And if you know God put you in it, then there's nothing and nobody can prevail against y'all. You hear me? Been there, done that. See, because of the way God done things, over 30 years ago, we knew, Johnny, that God put Scotty in garage door business. And I'm telling you, there has been times, weeks, with no money. Times, Sandy, that it looked like other people that was doing wrong was prospering. The Bible says, don't envy the wicked when they prosper. There was one time to where it got so bad, he come and he said, I think I might need to go get a job. But a job making so-and-so, we're done so far behind now, a job ain't even going to help us, Johnny. And I said, what did God say? Because see, you always got to take it back to that. Because out of the will of God, he's not obligated. I can't just do whatever I want to do. That's why you shouldn't tell your kids, just go to school, go to college, be whatever you want to be. No, God has a plan. And it's our job to find out that plan. And it's a good one. So I say, what did God say? Well, God says garage doors. Well, then we got to stay with that. Why? Because while we look not if there's no groceries, while we look not if it looks like they're coming to get everything, while we look at the Word of God that he says, I will supply. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Everything God has belongs to me. Everything Jesus has belongs to me. God's not broke, right? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth and every fullness thereof belongs to him, right? Then I got to stay with what I know to be the will of God. Because see, I cannot have faith outside of what I know is his will. And I get his will from his word. That's how come by his stripes I was healed. That's the foundation for your believing. If you do not have the word of God, you cannot be on a foundation for faith. You cannot have faith what you haven't heard. This is where a lot of people get messed up. They want to just, that's why people call it name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. Because that's exactly what some people are doing. They want it. Y'all come on now. They want it. So they say it. And they think they're going to have it. When God's will for that thing is right the opposite. But see, when I have heard God or I read it in His Word and I know that that is, belongs to me, that is the foundation of my faith. See, Sandy can't believe. Sandy could come and tell Johnny, Johnny, Teresa's going to come clean my house Tuesday. Good luck for you. I don't care how many times she tells you that, Johnny. She cannot be in faith that I'm going to come clean her house. Why? I ain't said I was. But now if she knows me, and knows me to be not a liar, and to do what I say, if I tell Saint Sandy I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, I'm going to clean your house top to bottom, she can come and tell you that one time, Johnny, and everybody can believe it. Why? You got a foundation. I said it. But if I didn't say it, you can say it all you want to. But you can't really believe that. It's a head thing. You're hoping, wishing that I would. That's exactly the way faith is. You must have the Word of God as the foundation for what we believe. I don't care what the situation is. Now, let's go on, finish this right here. No, we did, didn't we? Or no, maybe we didn't read 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at John 17 right quick. I quoted this verse here, I think it was last week, but we're going to look at it today. Our eyes need to see it, right? That way it ain't just something, Sunday school teacher said so-and-so, devil. That won't work for you. John 17, verse 20. This is going to be King James. It says, "Neither," this is Jesus talking, it's read, "neither pray I for these alone," talking about his disciples, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Word to his disciples, through his word, through their mouth, on down, right? So he's talking about us too. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Key verse. "I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me." Notice this. "And has loved them." You need to say me. "As thou hast loved me." Hey, Jesus is saying right there, "Father, that they may know that you have loved Sandy just like you love me. That you love Doris, whoever, just like." You're going to have to renew your mind to that. Because see, it's the love of God that is going to cast out fear. Of how much... that he loves you. Let's look at this other verse here. Galatians 5. Just put this one up for us, please, Beth. We'll read it from the screen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 through 6. It says, "For we, not relying on the law," talking about our works, "but of the law, but through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith anticipate and wait for the blessing and good for which our righteousness and right standing with God, our conformity to His will and purpose, thought and action causes us to hope." It says, "For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but what? Only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love." See, when you come to a revelation of how much God loves, it's going to boost your faith, just like it says. It's going to energize it. It's going to cause it to, kind of like you're putting a battery on charge or your battery's dead and somebody puts jumper cables on it from there. It's going to boost you right up. Why? Because you know, Sandy, if he loves me and he's for me, who can prevail against me? Nothing and nobody. David was anointed to be king as a teenager and got sent back out to the field. But what happened when something came to get the sheep? What happened when the lion came? He killed it. What happened when the bear came? He killed it. So then he comes out here. I mean, picture this now. You are a young teenager. Maybe you weigh 120 pounds soaking wet. I don't know. You're not trained in war. You are a shepherd. You take care of sheep. Bah! And you go out here, and here is this Philistine giant. They say he was over 9 foot tall. Now maybe you're 5'6", 5'5". Let's just get on up there. 5'9". 6 foot. Doubt it, but I mean possible. And you come out here and this guy is over 9 foot tall. No telling what he weighs. I don't know. Anyway, he's a giant, Sandy. He's not normal. And he has been trained from his youth to be a warrior. And you come out there, and he is mocking God. And I mean, that so irritates David. And he's like, why ain't y'all doing something? Y'all ever feel like that? People around you, why ain't you doing something about your problem? Why ain't you doing something about your circumstance? Why ain't you doing something about the devil? Well, I'm waiting on God. God never said wait on him to do something about the devil. He already did it. So he's like, why ain't y'all doing something? Anyway, to make a long story short, he says, okay, y'all won't do it. I'm going to do it. And he tells the giant, he looks him right in the face and he tells him, you come at me with a sword and a spear. But I come at you how? In the name of the Lord of hosts. He told Saul, he said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear. He said, he's drawing on his faith in God, his covenant. He said, in this uncircumcised Philistine, because back then that was part of their covenant, circumcision. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like them. And he told him, he said, you come at me with a sword and a spear. He said, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He said, this day I'm going to take your head off. He said, and I'm going to feed it to the birds of the air. Sandy, are for you for real? You're 120 pounds there. You're not trained in war. And you got a rock. Come on now. What do you think you're going to do with that little slingshot? Well, who ever heard of a pebble killing anybody? It's by faith. See, faith doesn't have to have a lot. Remember Gideon? Just have what God provides. Just believe what God has said. We all know the story probably. Anyway, the Bible don't say he walked out there slowly. The Bible says he ran toward Goliath. See, faith runs. Why? Because it already knows the outcome that's coming. There is no fear in faith. According to 1 John 4:18, perfected, completed love. Cast it out. It's the only way you're going to get it out. Because that's what the Scripture says. It's the love, the perfected, the matured, brought to maturity, perfected love, completed love. It cast out all fear, Sandy. He knew that God was for him. He knew that God had anointed him and that one day he would be the king, so the Philistine can't kill him. What happened? He ran to him and just hearing it. And it hit him right up in there. He's got on full body armor. God knows every enemy's weakness. Hit him right up there, knocked him down. He runs over there, takes it. Listen, if you've ever had a whooping, this is more than a whooping. When you get killed, your head cut off with your own sword, that's more than a conqueror. He done whooped you and your mom and them. Right? He took his head off with his own sword. And then they took the sword and they put it in the house of the priest. That's me and you. See, God had already defeated the Philistine, but he needed somebody by faith that would actually go out there and do it. It wasn't David's muscles. I imagine Samson, I mean, we hear the stories, I imagine him to look like Scotty or Monty. Nothing on them, just they're smaller guys. Because see, Sandy, when you looked at Samson, there had to be some reason you wouldn't believe he could take the gates of the city. Or it wouldn't have to be faith. Right? Now, let's go on here. Gosh, I'm already out of time. Anyway, 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 through 17, it says, taking the shield of faith where you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. Those are the thoughts and things that the devil throws at you. It is the shield of faith that they, when you hold that up, they'll go ping, ping, ping. They can't get in you. They can't penetrate that armor. Then verse 17 says, and us taking the sword of the Spirit. Right? You use the helmet of salvation to defend, and you use the sword of the Spirit to cut the head off the giant. And then 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58 talks about how God has already given us the victory. According to 1 John 5, 4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen? I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything like they'd like to share or comments or anything? Or even a testimony right quick? No? Go ahead, Johnny.